Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 12. The book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 12. We're continuing to go through this wonderful book. This book where the Apostle Paul is trying to lovingly help and correct a church that is out of order. Remember that one of the big issues of this church is that this is a church that has divisions. And it's not just simple divisions of a small rivalry like two people who support different football teams, but it's the idea of divisions that they're almost drag out, punch out, parking lot brawls because they're not getting along. The Apostle Paul is continued and is trying to put some unity within the church. And as he has done that, we've come to 1 Corinthians in chapter number 12, where he began to explain the spiritual gifts. And with the context, he's been explaining that it was the Holy Spirit who disseminated these gifts as the Holy Spirit saw correct, as God saw right, and that he has equipped all of us in different ways for the purpose that we work together, a building fit perfectly so we can get accomplished what God wants us to get accomplished. Well, with that context in mind, the analogy turns more to a physical body, something that we could relate to try to explain that a local church is a living organism made up of many members, and every person is one of those members who makes up that body. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and notice with me in verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, the Bible says this: "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, am I not of the body?' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which we lacked, and that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all members rejoice with it." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find kind of repeated over and over and over. Notice, if you don't mind, let me find exactly where I want it to. In verse number 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 12, notice the phrase, members of that one body. Members of that one body. And with the Lord's help, we want to hit this principle that we find taught all throughout this section here. Members of that one body. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you, we're asking that we would have a great understanding and a great wisdom that goes along with this, that you could teach us how important it is of this one body, this local church, and how important it is that you put each individual members there and you put each person here for a reason. And they are a part of the living organism of your local church. Help us to understand our roles, how important it is that all of them function correctly, and how all of them have a part to play, and that without them, we are less than. Lord, I'm asking that you give us grace and mercy now. Give us great understanding by your Spirit. Fill me with your precious Spirit to communicate your word in a special way that we understand, and that it helps us to be the healthy body you desire us to be. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, once again, the Apostle Paul has the context that he has a church that's divided. And so with that, he is teaching the importance of them being of one body, so that way they can understand, have correct thinking, and that they, having the correct thinking, will move together as one body. Now, because this is talking more of anatomy, it's important that we understand a little bit about anatomy. If you could forgive the background, but I had the privilege of being a medic for about 15 years as a laboratory technician, where we study how things come from the body, how the body works. I had the privilege of teaching biology for many years inside of high school. And so we're going to pull this up, and if you could allow us, we're going to go back to school and have a biology class. And with this biology class, we're going to explore this passage and have an understanding of how the body works and have a better understanding of how God intended his local church to function, understanding that we are members of one body. With that, let's go to our first idea here. The body has many members. The body has many members. Notice again in verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now here it's dealing with an introductory statement speaking about the body of Christ, which we believe to be the local church. And the local church is one member, one body. And that in that local church, remember that the church is not made up of the brick and mortar. The local church is made up of the people who have voluntarily assembled together to accomplish the Great Commission. And that we have assembled together. Remember that when someone becomes a member of the body, they have joined the church saying that I believe that God has wanted me to put my life and my influence in helping this local church accomplish the Great Commission. That it is something that they say, that there's no sidelines, there's no spectators, that everyone has a function, and that every person within the local church is important and function together. That every member makes up that one body. Notice as it goes on. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, verse number 13 is a controversial passage, and the reason why it's controversial is because it's usually based off of what people believe to start off with to look at this passage. One common interpretation, which comes from a view of a universal church, says that when we get saved, we are spiritually baptized into the body of Christ, and that as soon as we're saved, we're automatically part of one big, huge, mystical body. There are others who will believe more of a local church who will say that it is water baptism that we are one Spirit, and that we are water baptized into one body, a local church. Well, may I pose a third idea for this? That in here, we know that the word baptism here baptism is used a couple different ways throughout the New Testament, that it carries the idea here that the Holy Spirit has immersed the person into that local body for a purpose. That he, remember, the context here is the idea of spiritual gifts, and that God knew when you got saved what spiritual gift you were going to have. And when he immersed you, when you got saved, he gave you that gift for the purpose of you being able to plug in into a local body to help that local body accomplish what God has given that to do. Does that make sense? Yeah. Notice again, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, regardless of which specific point of view you look at, whether it was the universal church, whether it was baptism of water baptism into a local church, or the context of the idea that the Holy Spirit has baptized you and has put you into the right place at the right time, regardless, the principle here is the same, is that God is the one who placed the people into the body, and that the body is made up of many members. Verse number 14, but the body is not one member, but many. Remember that the body is made up of different parts. Now, let's go to biology for a little while. Inside of biology, we start with cells. The cells are the very basic living things. It's the very basic part of anything. You have to have a cell. That's the lowest you can go. When you put cells together, you make tissues. When you have enough tissues together, you make an organ. When you have the organs together, you make a system. And when you have all the systems together, you have a body. Does that make sense? So you have cells. Those cells form tissues. Those tissues will form an organ. So, for example, the heart. The heart is not just made up of one tissue. It is several tissues together to make that one organ. But that one organ doesn't just function by itself. It becomes a part of a system, that there are several parts. For example, we have the pulmonary system. The pulmonary system, it consists of our lungs, but it's not just the lungs by itself. It includes the heart. Our heart has four chambers. One chamber pumps out the blood into the rest of the body. Another chamber receives the blood from the body. Another chamber pumps the blood into the lungs where it receives the oxygen, and another chamber receives that oxygenated blood. So our heart has four chambers. Each one of them have a different purpose that is important for our body, the way that it is set up. That heart is important. But in order for the heart to work correctly, it also has to have the lungs. It's part of the pulmonary system. Maybe we can look at a different system. We have the alimentary system. Our alimentary system starts with our mouth, that we put food in our mouth and we begin to chew the food. As we chew the food inside of our mouth, the saliva begins to soften it and makes it easier to digest. It then goes from our mouth down our esophagus into our stomach. Inside of the stomach, the food that we ate is broken down inside of the stomach between the idea of stomach acids, and the stomach itself actually moving and grinding the things. What happens is that the food substance, now that it's ground down, moves into the small intestines. Inside of the small intestines, the nutrients begin to filter into the small intestines. That's how the nutrients get in our body, is through the small intestines. Then it moves into the large intestines, where the rest of everything that the body could wring out of it is wrung out of, until finally it is eliminated by waste. That entire system is called the alimentary system. It starts from here and comes out the other end, but it's one huge system. We may have several systems that make up the body. So we start off with a tissue or cell that goes into a tissue. Those tissues form organs. So our body is made up of many different organs. Those organs will work together to be a system. But your body is just not one system. It has many systems working together. So when we're talking about that we have many members, if you can imagine that we're all an organ, we're all a part of the body. All of us have a different function, but we're all necessary to function correctly. We are members of that one body. And God knew that this church here needed a heart. This church needed a brain. This church needed skin. This church needed a liver. This church needed eyeballs. This church needed hair. So God knew how to put those members together to make not a Frankenstein monster, but to put together to make a living body, a living organism to function in that place at that time. And all of those members are necessary for that body to function. It says, for the body is not one member, but many. The body has different members. And the Holy Spirit has put people into place for a specific purpose. Just like your body is broken up into different parts and different areas, all of them are necessary to work together to function. Let's go on. Every member is important. Every member is important. Notice in verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Or I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? So let's just imagine one day that my foot said, you know what? I'm tired of this. Nobody likes me. Nobody likes to look at me. I mean, I'm ugly, I'm smelly. They hide me all the time. They put a sock over me and then put a shoe on me so no one has to see me. You know what? I'm tired of being treated this way. I don't like it at all. I quit. And it tries to say, I'm not part of the body no more. Well, just because it says it's not part of the body, does it work that way? Can it just walk away? Can it just like, no, it could say it all at once, but it's still part of the body. But do you know how amazing the foot is? That inside of the foot, you have different bones that make up your foot that work together to allow you to go up and down. From the ankles down to the tarsals, to the metatarsals, to the phalanges at the end, all of it's important. You imagine how, we don't think about this, but how God designed it. Let's just take that you take someone 6'2". And that's way north of 250 pounds. And yet the foot is designed so well that when I take a step, it holds that entire weight. It's able to function and design to carry that entire load with every step. Is that pretty important? Is that something that the rest of the body cannot do? I mean, some of you might be talented to walk on your hands, but are your wrist and your rest of your hands designed to do that? No. Your hands are designed to do something else. Your hands are pretty handy as well, but they're not usually covered. People like to look at the hands. Some of you even pretty your hands up. Put some coats of paint on it, maybe put some jewelry on it. You do different things to your hands because your hands are visible, your hands work. You know there's such a thing as a hand model that they have such perfect, pretty hands that they could be in magazine ads and whatnot. I mean, people like the hands, but they're made different than the foot. But yet they're designed pretty amazing to be able to move. Did you know that in your lifetime, just to flex your hands, they said that in your lifetime, you will flex it over 25 million times in your life. And yet, it doesn't tire out. It's made to function that way. Our hands work. And God has designed it that way. Notice, if you don't mind, as it goes on in verse number 16. And if the ear will say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? So let's just take someone's ear. Now, when's the last time you ever said, man, you know what? You have gorgeous ears. Though I want to just gaze into those ears. Just look at that. There's a different culture that has a word for it called umox. So, but that's not what we do. You know what gets the attention? The eyes. The eyes look beautiful. You have beautiful eyes. I like to look into your eyes. The eyes get all the attention. And so the ear says, you know what? I'm so tired of the eyes getting all the attention. I quit. I'm not part of the body no more. Well, just because it announced that it's not part of the body, does it make it true? No, they're part of the body whether they like it or not. But the ear is pretty amazing. How amazing is your ear? I mean, it may not be something to look at, and it may be so big that when you go out in the wind that it kind of flaps around and you can almost get caught and blown away with it. But your ears, as big as they are, do act as radars. They absorb the sound. Remember, sound is nothing more than vibrations. And your ear takes the vibrations and it goes down into your inner canal. Now, inside of your inner canal, it's not just blank space, but do you know that you have three different tubes? One that goes up, one that goes side to side, and one that goes diagonal. And they have bubbles inside of it. And that way, if your body tilts, those bubbles tilt, and they have nerves connected to it that can say which way you're facing, so that way it could compensate. All the time, when you're taking a step, those bubbles are moving, your nerves are sensing it, and they know how you're supposed to step. If you're supposed to step up, if you got a sideways step, if there's, and you're able to catch your balance because of your ears. In addition, inside of your ears, you have the three smallest bones in your body. The hammer, the anvil, and the staple. Forgive me. But you have the three smallest bones in your body. And what happens when you hear a sound, those bones begin to vibrate. Nerves are connected to those bones, and those vibrations will get signaled through your nerves into your brain, and your brain will translate those vibrations into sound. You don't hear sound, you hear vibrations. Your brain processes it and tells you what sound you hear. Isn't that pretty amazing? Now, the eye can't do that. That is something pretty amazing. But the eye itself is also amazing. That your eye, I told you it's going to be a biology class, that inside of your eye, you have an iris. Your iris is like a camera filter that opens up or closes to allow light into a little hole called a pupil. Inside of your eye, the light travels to the back of your eye, and as it does it, it reverses your the image that it sees. You're actually seeing things upside down because of the way that it filters in. It gets to the back of your eye where you have what is called a retina. Inside of your retina, you have different cells called rods and cones. The rods determine light. Basically, that's how you see black and white, by the different light that you see that hits your rods. Your cones receive the different frequencies of light, but you know that your rods, your cones, only see three colors. You have rods that see red. You have, cones that see red, cones that see blue, and cones that see green. Only three colors. But based off of the frequency of it, they will determine how much red, how much green, how much blue. Then what happens is that there's the optic nerve that connects to the retina. It brings that information inside of your brain. It takes that image and flips it back the way it should be, and it interprets all the different frequencies of colors, and it portrays it in your mind as a color palette. So even though you technically don't see yellow, you see the different frequencies of green and blue and red that makes you see yellow. Now, if your cones don't work right, you may not see certain frequencies. But that's how it works. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? How it's put together. God knew what he was doing to design that and to put it together. By the way, we'll get into more of that in a second, but notice in verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where the hearing? So if someone says, all I want to do, I want to be pretty like the eye. Well, if all you had was seeing and not hearing, would you be a complete body? No, you'd be missing out a lot in the world. Notice as it goes on. And if the whole were hearing, where are the smelling? Well, you say, all I want to do is hear things. Well, what about taste? Wouldn't be lunch kind of bland if you weren't able to taste something? You see, all of those are necessary. You say, well, I don't like looking at someone's tongue. But isn't the tongue necessary? You say, well, I don't like to smell. I don't want to smell anything ever again. Then you're not going to taste anything either. You see, our body is put together in an amazing way. God knew what he was doing when he put it together. He took these different members and put them together as one body. And even though each of the members are different, all of them have a function. All of them have something that they're supposed to do to help that body be correct, to be healthy. Now, what happens when a part of the body doesn't work right? Well, then that body becomes sick. We need all of our body to function correctly, because if it doesn't function correctly, it affects the rest of the body. Notice as the Bible goes on in verse number 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it had pleased him. Now remember, it is God that put the body together. Not only our physical bodies, but he also put together this local church, and he knew who was supposed to be part of this local church and what role they were to have, and that everyone who is a member is important. They are necessary. They have a function. God's the one who said, I need an eye. Come here. Hey, I need hearing. Come here. Hey, I need a hand. Come here. God put the people together who needed to be in there. Verse number 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? Not everyone could be the head. A head can't move around by itself. Not everyone could be the hand. Without the brain, the hand can't do anything. Each of them are necessary. And the eye can say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Well, you can't divorce things of your body just because you don't like it. Now, think about the context. That in the church of Corinth, you have divisions. People that don't like each other. People that want to take each other in the parking lot and beat each other up. They're wishing they weren't part of there. You shouldn't be a part of here. What they don't realize is that they're hurting the entire body. Amen. That the whole body is necessary to function correctly. Verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem more feeble are necessary. So some of the people in the church of Corinth may say, listen, you're nothing but a waste of space. You don't belong here. You're feeble. Now the hand, it could take a lot of damage. You could take a hammer and accidentally hit it and you will still survive. It will hurt, but it could still survive. You could break your hand. It could go through a lot of damage. But let's just say that we opened your chest up and exposed your heart and took that same hammer and hit the heart. Would that have a different effect? Yes. You see, the heart is more feeble, but is it a necessary organ? Yes. And so because of that, it needed to be protected because it's more feeble. It doesn't make it less important, but it just needed to be protected. And there are some people inside of a church that are more feeble that need to be protected. They can't take the damage. They can't take the abuse. But they're still important and they're still necessary. It's amazing how the body works together. The different organs of it, whether it's the heart, whether it's the liver, the liver's job is to filter out poisons. The kidneys, to filter out the blood. Those are important. But again, you can't expose them and hit them with a hammer. Yeah. They need to be protected, even though they perform important duties, important responsibilities. By the way, it's amazing that God knew all about our body, and we're still catching up. People did not know about biology until the father of biology, Vesalius, in the Middle Ages was able to work. Before the middle part of the Middle Ages, it was illegal to open up a dead body and examine it. You could not see how the body worked until the Middle Ages. And then they started catching up and were able to get permission culturally to open up the body to study it. And to see how things work, to see how these things function together. Those became important studies for our knowledge. But God knew about it the whole time, even if we didn't. He knew how our body functioned and how it worked and how important the different parts of our body were. God is the one who put it together. And God has put together the local church as well. Notice in verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more or abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now, inside of our body, we do have things that we give more honor to. There are parts of the body that we consider more comely, more beautiful. And those comely parts, we don't hide them. For example, most of us, you got pretty hair today. I like how you did your hair. You don't usually hide your hair because it's a beautiful part of your body. However, there are parts of the body that you don't expose. For example, feet. You know what you do with feet? You decorate it with socks. And then you put some shoes on it. If you're my daughter, they have to be pink and sparkly. Why? Because the feet are ugly. They need more honor to cover them. But your hair, nobody says, well, listen, I'm going to cover up my hair. No, your hair's beautiful. I mean, ladies are able to do all kinds of beautiful things with your hair. They take hours to curl it and to brush it and to do all the kinds of things with it just to make it more beautiful, to make it stand, because it's a comely part. You don't hide your eyes all the time. People like to look at the eyes. Let's take a belly button. Oh, when's the last time you looked at someone's navel and said, well, I can't wait. I'm a belly button connoisseur. Oh, to be able to study all the ridges inside, any outie. No. What happens is that we cover it up. You put a nice shirt on. You put something with more honor over it to cover it. And we have parts of our body that need more honor, need more comely, because you don't want to look at it. You know, some people have the beautiful hair and they brush their hair, but they have almost as much hair on the arms. But you don't look and say, man, your arm hair is gorgeous today. You don't go to some guy and say, man, you could do braids on the hair on your back. Wow, it is looking good today. You have hair in your armpits. Oh, you want to see the braid I did today? We know that we have comely parts, but there are parts that are not as honorable, and we cover them up with honor. And so the Bible is placing the same thing. We have some people who have a position where they're visible, and there are other people that say, I don't want to be seen. I want to be covered. I don't want people to notice me. I just want to do my part. And that's important. Let's take a small intestine. Does anybody even notice a small intestine unless something happens to it? Then as soon as the small intestine, something happens to it, affects everything else. Now it's important. But as long as it's working right, no one pays attention to it, but it's still important. And there are some people that have the different functions. Not everyone can be the hair. Some people's got to be the small intestine. You know, we all have different roles. Now, you're not going to match up role to role and say, listen here, I'm the eyeball. We're using an analogy. It falls apart. But we understand we all have a function. We all have a purpose. God has placed it into his local body for a reason. And that we understand that God has made the body of many members. We understand that every member is important. With this, we also understand that members care for one another. Members care for one another. Notice with me in verse number 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together and has given more abundant honor to that part that lacked, to be more presentable. Why? That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So let's imagine that you have a body and say, you know what? Let's just divide the body in half. Let's just let it function on its own. So let's cut it in half, and this part of the body over here and this part of the body over here, and you function by yourself and you function by yourself. There's a division there, a schism. That's what the word schism, a division. Well, we come into a problem because this part of the brain controls this part of the body, and this part of the brain controls this part of the body. And if you were to split the body in half, everything would fall apart. What if we split the body apart, but then you know that your heart's not in the center of your chest? It's off to the side. And if you were to cut your body in half, one part of your body would have the heart, the other one would not. So we're starting to understand that the body has to function together, that you can't divide it off. Well, I could cut off my leg, but why would you want to? Do you know that if you go and stub your toe, it affects all of your body? It affects everything. You step on a Lego in the middle of the night, it affects your entire body. Notice as it goes on. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. What happens to the body happens to all of it. So let's imagine that I have an infection in my finger. Well, it's only affecting my finger. I don't care. I'm just going to let it sit there. I'm not going to take care of it. Well, after a while, won't it affect the rest of your body?
Yeah.
But what if in order to treat it, it's really infected, I have to take antibiotics and I take them orally. When I take the pill, does it know that exactly where it's supposed to go? It affects the entire body. And so while it is sick, it affects the rest of the body. It is not healthy. Well, I say, well, it's not healthy. Let me just cut it off. Is that the best solution?
No.
Neither is the solution to say, listen, we don't like you in the church. We're getting rid of you. Is that the best solution? Our best solution is to get that member healthy so the whole body functions correctly, to bring everyone along, because every member is necessary. Everyone has a part to play. Let's get them healthy. Let's figure out what's the problem and get them healthy so we all function together. If we have someone in the church that is not healthy, it does affect the whole body. The whole body is sick if one member is sick. We need to work to try to make sure that the entire body is healthy and functioning correctly. This is important. When you become a part of a local church, you are putting yourself as part of this body and you're adding or subtracting to the health of it. Now, this isn't saying that we're trying to get rid of people. We're trying to say we're trying to help everyone be healthy as the body grows, as it multiplies, so we can function correctly. Now, when the whole body is honored, or one part of the body is honored, the whole body is honored. So if I win a race, well, my whole body, you don't say, well, listen, everyone gets an award except for the foot. You're just left out. No, I'm awarded as a whole body. The whole body is honored. So if part of the body is suffering, the whole body suffers. If the body is honored, the whole body is honored. Everyone has a part to play. Verse 26. And that whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, God has put the body together to function and to work together. Our goal as individual members is to do the work that we're supposed to do and make sure that we are healthy for the rest of the body. So it does matter if everybody's reading the Bible or not. It does matter if people are right with God or not. It does matter if someone is hiding sin because that sin is a sickness that starts to affect the rest of the body. We want to function correctly because God has given us a purpose, and he's put each member here for a purpose. And he's put this body here, and he wants the body to function. He didn't put the body there just to lay down on a slab and look pretty. Each body he puts together has a purpose. And the body is supposed to find that purpose and accomplish it. Each local church has a reason why it exists and something that God wants to do with that body. And in order to have the body, he puts different members there to help that body accomplish what God has given it to do. So the long and short of this is that we want to have a healthy body. In order to have a healthy body, every member needs to be functioned correctly. You know what that means? That there's no person who's not important in the body. Every member is important. Every member needs to function correctly. Every member needs to be healthy so the whole body can be healthy. And that there needs to be no divisions within the body. You can't have the ear fighting with the nose. It doesn't work. It has to work correctly, has to function correctly. We need to be a healthy body. And for the most part, the Riverview Baptist Church is a healthy organism. Now, we could work out and get stronger. We could work out the heart muscle and have more endurance. We're still a young church who's still learning their bodies and still functioning. And one day our body is going to produce a brand new baby, and we'll give birth to another body that will function. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Because every healthy organism reproduces itself. But we want to make sure that we're healthy enough to do what God has given us to do. Every person is important. Now, every once in a while, someone will get the poochy lip disease and try to be like one of these. Well, I'm not the hand, so I'm not part of the body. You are. You're important, and you need to get healthy, and you need to get right. Well, I just don't want to be in this anymore. I'm the foot. I'm leaving. It doesn't work that way. God has placed you here for a reason. It's not by accident. God designed you and saved you for the purpose of helping this local church function correctly. And we're looking for God to add more to the body. When he adds more to the body, it's there to make us healthier and stronger and more capable of doing more things. And everyone is important. There is no lesser than. We have different functions. It's not an idea of value, it's an idea of function and order. But we defined our role in this local church. Find where we fit, find how we operate, and do that. And watch as God makes this healthy organism do amazing things when it functions correctly. And not be like the Church of Corinth that is not functioning correctly. The Church of Corinth is a sick church. And it needs Dr. God to help that patient. And he sent Paul there to help this patient recover. You have a role. You are important. You're not lesser than. You are part of the whole. And we need you functioning correctly so the body together can function correctly. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.